By the way, one man who likes a dead man is a Choctaw apostolic side of Penn County, is not Dr. Choctaw. In the Elgin, Texas, today is August the 16th, 2023, or it is the Elu 1-2027. This is a new moon Sabbath. We're going to start our first service today with a song. His eye is on the sparrow. Why should I fear this bird? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? And gosh, where is my portion? My constant friend is he. His eyes are the sparrow, and oh, he blesses me. His eyes are the sparrow, and I know I've seen the poor unhappy. I've seen the poor unhappy. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. This is the word I fear. And resting in his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. But by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I've seen the poor unhappy. I've seen the poor unhappy. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know whenever I am tempted, whenever flies arrive, and find a place to sigh, and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. And care sets me free. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he cares. I've seen the poor unhappy. I've seen the poor unhappy. From the fourth chapter of Micah. We're going to call this, let's just call it the Mountain of the House of the Yahweh, is the name of our sermon. The Mountain of the House of the Yahweh. Let's go for a prayer thought. Let's go to Psalms 89. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Yahweh forever. With my mouth will I make known my faithfulness unto all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne unto all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yahweh, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Yahweh? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Yahweh? Yahweh is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Well, actually, you can say it about the Son also. So actually, David is conversing with the Son here. For the Yahshua is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now here it is talking for sure about the Son, Yahshua. O Yahshua of the host, who is a strong Yahshua like unto thee, or who are to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. For the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now here it is, it's to use this word truth. Mercy and truth. Well, I found out that if you speak the pure truth, you're going to make enemies out of a lot of people. Now, just about today, hardly anyone knows what pure truth is. And so, even though they're professed Christians and they read their Bible and they get down on their knees and pray, but they don't understand the mysteries in the Bible, so they long to understand them, but they can't go to their minister and say, help me to understand what this means, or the minister don't know. Okay, this says on verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Yahweh, in the light of thy countenance. Let's do that again. In the light, O Yahshua, they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. See, when you're talking about countenance, you're talking about somebody's presence being there in a person. But Yahweh is not always mentioned as being in a person here and there and everywhere. But this Lord God, He is. The Bible mentions Him all over the place. Has been in person here and there and everywhere. Well, I know that Yahshua can do that, but Yahweh doesn't do that. The Father don't do that. He gave that to His Son to do. So when we give Yahweh the credit for what His Son has done, I don't know if they like that or not. Verse 16, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be established, exalted. Now, the New Paul talks about Yahshua's righteousness, and what constitutes Yahshua's righteousness. But he doesn't write about what constitutes Yahweh the Father's righteousness. He writes about what constitutes the Son's righteousness. Well, David, that's what he's talking about. He's talking to Yahshua. Him and Yahshua are great friends. They're walking together day after day. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Now, what does it say? David's talking here. He's telling, for thou art the glory of their strength. Who is the glory? Yahshua is the glory of their strength, and in thy favor, in the favor of Yahshua, our horn shall be exalted. Well, what's our horn? Our horn is the tribe of Judah, house of David. That's where our horn is at. And it says right here, David says, our horn is going to be exalted. When he says our, that's a pronoun for talking about two or more people. So he's telling Yahshua, he says, your horn and my horn is going to be exalted together. And it's going to be called the line of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10. It's going to be called the house of David, the five stars. It's going to be called the line of the tribe of Judah. That's what's going to exalt our horn. For Yahshua is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Well, we know that my wife, she was talking with me about this very verse last week, and said, well, the Lord is all uppercase, so it's talking about God the Father is our defense, and it has a conjunction. And the Holy One of Israel is our King. So the Holy One of Israel is Yahshua the Son, but this Lord up here is God. And another place of the Bible says Yahshua is our defense here on earth. So you're going to have to put Yahshua and make His name consistent when you do these translations. For the Yahshua is our defense, and you leave the conjunction out and you say with the preposition, as the Holy One of Israel. That's the correct way to read that verse. For the Yahshua is our defense as the Holy One of Israel is our King. Verse 19, Then thou spakest in the vision unto the Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is not mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. For the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of the wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Okay. and I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. I say to these people that turns against the prophet of Israel, anytime Yahweh raised up a prophet, it's for one reason, that is to deliver them. He's a deliverer and a servant. He has two titles, a prophet. He has several titles. But his main title is he's a servant and he's a deliverer. And there's only a few servants that have ever been sent into this world given that title to go along with the prophet as a deliverer. Not all prophets are deliverers. But those that are called to be deliverers are designated, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Zechariah, Zephaniah, Hosea, all these. All of your prophets in the Old Testament were actually deliverers. They had a message to deliver the people. That's what we have today. And if you thwart that message, and if you get cross-raised with a prophet, then you're not going to get the message that is sent to you for your deliverance. That's just all it amounts to. If you turn against the prophet, and you start speaking against him and calling him a false prophet and this and that, the message that he brought from heaven is not going to do you a bit of good to deliver your soul. You're the one that played the fool. And you said in your heart, whatever, well, this is not them. No, it can't be. Verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Whose name? Yahshua, the Son, in his name. Well, we saw that word horn a while ago. That's talking about our horn. Alright, I know about our king. Verse 25. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the river. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my Yahweh, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I not keep for him. Forevermore and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. His throne as the days of heaven. When Yahweh made a covenant with David, that he would always have a man to sit upon David's throne, starting with your son Solomon as the number one king that's going to sit upon David's throne. And said he's going to exalt that throne forever. And he will always have a man to point out that throne and its existence and where it's at. You will always have somebody come along that will put you back on the track to where the David's throne is at. When they lost where David's throne is at, the Queen of England says, "Oh, we got to claim that throne of David." Well, they got a rock over there in Germany. They call it some kind of a rock of a stone. It's a rock. They call it the Rock of Jacob, Rock of Jacob, or something. You know the name. What do they call it, Catherine? Tell it.
Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone.
Oh, the Rosetta Stone. And so England said, let's steal that stone. Let's take it to England and say, we're the heirs to the throne of David. So England has believed all these years that they have the throne of David. And at the throne of David is going to be set in the end time, right there in England.
Say it was returned some years ago. The stone was returned back to the same place a couple years ago.
Oh, a couple years ago. Yeah, because they had their knowledge. Tell the truth about it. You know the truth.
Whoever had owned the stone.
Huh?
Whoever had owned the stone, they asked for it back, and England gave it back to them.
Yeah. Just like that Queen Elizabeth of England, you believe she was a Scotchman?
She was a man?
A Scotchman.
A Scots first.
A Scottish. Oh, Scottish. Okay. But they got a Scottish right?
That's different.
Oh, that's different?
She was a no-good German.
Oh, she was a German.
She was a low-life descendant of a German people.
Oh.
They stole the throne of England.
Okay. I didn't know she was a German.
They'd been upon that throne for several hundred years. Having stolen it. Calling themselves royalty. Living as royalty. And rulers of England all the time, they're a bunch of devils from Germany. Once again, let's do Psalms 89:29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and as soon as the days of heaven. Let's talk about the one that inherits David's throne, and in the generation that he's sitting upon David's throne, going to inherit it forever. Now, Isaiah had a prophecy on that. And in Isaiah 22, 22, verse 22, it says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Verse 21, and I will clothe him. Let's start with verse 20 of Isaiah 22. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant, there's that servant again of Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. Okay. And he shall be a father unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Okay. The inhabitants of Jerusalem are the rulers of Judah. So the two go together. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall close or shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in his sure faith, and he shall be for a glorious stone unto his father's house. All those that sit upon the throne of David has had this passed on to them by their forefathers that went before them. Let's go to Genesis, Revelation 3:7. Okay, it says in Revelation 3:7. And to the angel of the church of the Philadelphia, these things, saith he that hath that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. For everyone that has been called to lead a movement of Israel has the key of David given to them. Moses had the key of David, even though Moses came 500 years before David. He had the same key that David ended up with. He had the keys to the kingdom, in other words. He had the sanctuary truth, Jesus, shown to him to pass on to Israel, teach them how to perform their vows in the sanctuary. That's what Moses had. That's the keys to the kingdom. Okay. Here it says, This person had to choose between the open and the shut. Well, that number sixth angel that had these keys to the key of David, or the key of David, was William Miller. He was William Miller. He had the Philadelphian church, and he had the movement of 1833, of the 2300 day prophecy. And he had it for 11 years, and he announced it in 1844. And the Adventists identified it and interpreted it, and William Miller couldn't even interpret it his own message. He couldn't interpret the true ending of his whole message. And so therefore he died a very disappointed man, 1849. And William Miller never did accept the fourth movement of Ellen G. White, the Seventh Heaven. But he had the keys of David to open and no man to shut. He opened the 2300-day prophecy. And nobody could shut it. No matter how hard the Adventists have tried to shut it since, they can't shut it. That door is still open. That door is open in 1844. Start the Advent movement, that door is still open. Because William Miller had the keys to the keys of David that opened that door, and no man could shut it. And everybody's tried to shut that door ever since 1844. And they haven't been able to. And the reason why I know, because it says there in John chapter 10, I just flipped to it, verse 10. He says, okay, it says, let's read verse 8, verse 7. Then said Yahshua unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay. But then who is Yahshua? He's the door. But then who is Yahshua's door opener? Who is his door opener? All right. Let's go to Luke 19, and let's find out who this door opener is. Okay, Luke 19. It says, verse chapter 12, and he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So, where was this far country? It was in heaven. Well, where was this nobleman? He was Yahshua. The son of Yahweh, he was here on earth. He set up the kingdom of his disciples, and he says now he's got to go to a far country to receive a kingdom. So this nobleman, he came to the earth, Yahshua. He set up his kingdom with his 12 disciples. He purged one out and got rid of him, Judas Iscariot. He got another one to take his place, Paul. But first Matthias took his place, Judas' place, and then Paul ended up with it. Okay, so this nobleman was Yahshua. He came at the Passover. In the Antitype, he came at the Passover 2002 to come at Texas. And he said, now I've come down here to make a change of the guard. And I'd already announced that message of earth 6 months earlier. There's going to be a change in the guard starting to pass over this year. Well, Yahshua showed up. He took the keys away from Brother Johnson. He gave them to me, Elijah David. I have the keys to the kingdom. So it says in Luke 19, this nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. So he set this kingdom up here on earth. But he's got to go back to heaven he's got to be coronated as a king at a coronation day, 40 days after he left the earth. On the 40th day, he went to heaven and he sat upon a throne and was coronated as king of Israel. And then he said he's going to stay up there for a while, and then he's going to come again one day with his reward, with his crown. But before he does that, he's going to leave somebody in charge of his kingdom. You know, he chose antiquity David in the 12th hour, in the judgment time, when Yahshua is sure to show up in person. He had to come up and he had to come here to earth, set up his kingdom, and appoint his servant Antipas David over it, and then he takes and goes back to heaven. Now look what the people say to him after this nobleman went to see get their foreign country to get a kingdom in return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. But I want to back up and ask you the question. Who did these citizens hate? The citizens hated him and sent a message after him. they hated this. And who did Ben Roden, the prophet, say? Who did he say was this antitypical servant that they hated? He said it was David. Antitypical David, Ben Roden said. He said it was none other but antitypical David. And Yahshua's choice that he had chosen to reign over his people until he comes back. He had set up antitypical David. But he said the citizens hated him for doing that. They hated Yahshua for setting up this man that they hated to rule over them. They said, we're not going to have this man to rule over us. That's what it's always been. This man has the keys to the kingdom. Says so in Matthew 16:19. Jesus given to Peter as a pastor. The keys are given to the one that acknowledges the truth and won't vary from it. We'll always teach the straight, unadulterated truth and won't vary from it. He has the keys to the kingdom. Those that are wishy-washy and make excuses for this and for that, they don't have the keys to the kingdom. Yahshua can't trust them with the keys to the kingdom. And he knows that. He knows their heart. He knows who he can trust and who he can't trust. Okay, so it says in Micah chapter 4, Shepherd Rod, volume 1, page 177. This 173 is the beginning page for this fourth chapter of Micah. Page 177. What is the meaning of the fourth chapter of Micah? Now we're living in that fourth chapter of Micah right now. We are part of prophecy of the 12th hour, and this is when the Micah 4 is identified, the meaning of what's going on in the world. But in the last days, it says, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, Micah 4:1. For the scripture is unmistakably clear that it was intended for the last days. For it reads, but in the last days it shall come to pass. It is also prophecy that this scripture would be fulfilled, for it says, it shall come to pass. It is an accepted fact that nearly all the Bible students agree that the mountain spoken of in this chapter is a symbol of the Yahweh Church denomination, of which the temple built on Mount Moriah was a type. Now here's this here type thing. So the Adventist said the Adventist Church is an antitype of that temple building that was built upon Mount Moriah, the temple where the king, where the priest officiates the sanctuary service. So the Adventist Church, if it's the antitype of that temple that was built upon the mount, then they'd have to restore and keep all the feast days. So that's exactly what was taught in the type. That temple mount taught and kept the feast days, taught the sanctuary system completely. And so B.T. Hall says, exalted not by the world, but by the Spirit of Yahweh. It says that this Mount Moriah was a type of the Seventh-day Adventist Church during the last days. So the prophet declares that Yahweh, that the Yahweh's church would be established in the top of the mountain denomination, and it shall be exalted above the hills, sect or organization, exalted not by the world, but by the Spirit of the Yahweh, and the power for the, with the truth and righteousness, and people will flow unto it. For Yahweh has people. Okay, let's read that again. For the prophet declares that the Yahweh's congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church would be established in the top of the mountain. No. For the prophet declares that the Yahweh's true spirit-filled church or congregation of the David, House of David, would be established in the top of the mountain of the denomination, and it shall be exalted above the hills, sect or organization, exalted not by the world, but by the Spirit of Yahweh, and the power of the truth, or with the truth, and righteousness, and people will flow unto it. For Yahweh has spoken it by his holy prophet, therefore it would be foolish and deceptive for one to argue or try to explain away the meaning of the sacred word. Okay, so it says, for the prophet declares that the Yahweh's purified congregation of the House of David would be established in the top of the mountain, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel 2:44 and 45, where it says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heaven set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed or left to other people. That it's an everlasting kingdom of heaven that will not be destroyed or left to other people, but it will stand forever. That's the denomination that we are called to represent right here, even as we speak. The everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is the house of David, the mountain of the house of Yahweh, is the house of David. I have preached this time and again. And he shall be exalted above the hills. Okay. And it shall be exalted above the hills. The sect or the organization. What organization? All your church organizations, and the Adventist Church is that seventh hill. There's seven hills that this house of David is going to be exalted above. And the Adventist is the seventh hill. Go look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. It tells you what the name of those seven hills are. They have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There's the seven names of those seven churches that the house of David is exalted over. exalted, not by the will, but by the Spirit of the Yahweh and the power of the truth, and or I like the preposition with, really, with the truth. They are with the truth and righteousness, and people will flow unto it. For Yahweh has spoken it by his holy prophet. Therefore it would be foolish and deceptive for one to argue or try to explain away the meaning of the sacred word. For the same prophecy is also described in the second chapter of the Isaiah, from which we quote, "For the lofty looks of the man shall be humble, and the hardness of men shall be bowed down, and Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day." Isaiah 11. And I teach this Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. And it says he has come back and taken charge of his kingdom. But his underservant, he called his underservant David his princess. He calls him also a king. And he says that he alone is going to be exalted in that day. You're not going to sit David up there on no pinnacle, man. He says, "I got to exalt him." There's no way. Says, "Yahshua is going to be exalted. If everything that is human would be made low and bowed down, and Yahshua alone exalted in that day." One can clearly see that the prophecy is to meet its fulfillment. For Yahshua is exalted on the earth by his church, the antithetical house of David. And his church is that mountain of the house of Yahweh that is exalted above the hill. It's that little stone in Daniel 2 that's hewn out of the mountain without hands that strikes the image on the feet and grows into a mountain filled the whole earth. It's portrayed by the prophet Isaiah. "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua." For who you are, you're going to be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahshua, the Son. And you're going to be a royal diadem in the hand of the Father Yahweh. "Thou shalt no more be a term that's forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Judah, for Yahshua delighted in thee." Isaiah 62:3-4, where it says, "When the mountain of the Yahweh is thus established," that's the house of David, "on the top of the mountains," that's those seven mountains, I give the name to them, "let us say with the seventh one," which is the Adventist church, "and exalt above all hills, then have doubtless people shall flow under it." So right here is a prophecy right here in Isaiah 62:3-4 that shows that where the Adventists are completely of no effect at all. They're part of those other churches. They've joined those six other churches. And that woman, Mr. Bell, in Revelation 17, took charge of all seven of them. She sits on their head. For this glorious time spoken of by the prophet Micah is none other than the loud cry of the third angel's message. For the 60th chapter of the Isaiah is a prophecy of the church in the time of the latter rain, from which we quote, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahshua is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Meaning darkness for the truth is going to cover the whole earth. The gross darkness is talking about those that of the house of Israel that has rejected the truth and apostatized after they had weren't accepted it. See, to become an Adventist, you've got to agree that you believe in the three angels message. And after you get in, you say, "Well, I don't believe this stuff anyway. I just said I believe to get in." That's your gross darkness to people. They lied coming and they lied going. But the Yeshua shall arise upon thee. Who is this thee? The purified house of David. But then took over David in charge. And his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come unto the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Alright, so when you start rising up here in Texas, once we get ourselves healed of all of our infirmities, and we get perfectly where Yahweh can seal us with his seal, then he says, kings are going to see this brightness. Or if we're already done being shown, we're going to go on YouTube. We're going to be broadcast where our temple is set up at. We're going to be broadcast from there. And kings are going all over the world. They're going to see this brightness coming from here. This is when you start to rise with this. Kings are going to see the brightness of your life. And boy, when they see that, lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 4. Well, I know we're at this place. We got to be healed and bound up. We got to have complete unity. We have to have confession of unity, one to another. It's got to be perfect. We got to come into perfect harmony and unity of the Spirit and of the truth in all aspects. And we can't be worshiping with idolatry and try to affect this peace. It's nothing I do. So it says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So after this temple of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2, 4, 4, and 45, has been set up by Yahshua. As soon as he gets down here, gets his shepherd in place, and typical David, Elijah David, you'll sit him and gonna heal him, bind him up, and put him in his place to be ruler over his kingdom. And Yahshua is gonna take that and make a partnership with him and call it the ensign. And gonna make a flag, gonna put the Star of David on it and the line of the Tower of Judah that talks about who Yahshua is, and the Star of David talks about who David is. They're all on one banner. Those two are on one banner, showing that the two represent the ensign. First time this has ever been established in the world. We're sure at the end time. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. After this kings come to the brightness of his right, and after all the kings that they won't bring their people and come to the bright, where's the brightest? The brightness starts right from here. And when the king sits, they're gonna come. Texas is a big place. They're going to come and they're going to move in. They're going to bring their people. They're going to learn this lesson. And then they're going to join it. And then they're going to go and become part of your army. And they're going to go with you all over the world. And this kingdom is going to pick up members as it goes along the way. It says so in Ezekiel 47 river. The whole 47th chapter of Ezekiel. It says wherever that water flows, says everything's healed that it touches. Everything that it touches, it heals it. Wherever it flows, and it goes four ways, north, south, east, and west. It goes all over the world. And everything that receives that river, it heals them immediately, right on the spot. They're bound up into this everlasting kingdom of heaven, never to go out again. For the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. For the whole of the darkness shall cover thee, the earth and gross darkness of the people, but the Yahshua shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The house of David. Not that fallen Seventh-day Adventist church that has joined those other six fallen churches. As the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, those Protestants, those Church of Christ, those Lutherans. Now, it says Isaiah 60 verse 2, such a glorious time is ahead for Yahweh's purified church. Micah 4 2, first part, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahshua, or the mountain of Yahweh, and unto the house of the David. I'm just going to put it like it is. And unto the house of the David, of the Jacob, of one of the sons of Jacob, which is Judah. Okay. And he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths, for the Yahshua shall for the words just quoted are spoken by the nation. When the church of Yahweh is purified and filled with the Holy Spirit, clad in the armor of the Yahshua's righteousness. I notice it didn't say the Father's righteousness, it says the Son's righteousness. The church is entered upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, fair as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. How many conflicts has the Adventist church gone through from her birth? How many conflicts? Let's start with the first day Adventist, which is part of the Seventh Adventist, 1833, William Miller. He taught for 11 years. He misinterpreted the ending of his message. He said that the earth is a sanctuary and Yahshua is going to come and purify the earth by fire and take his waiting saints to heaven. Well, it didn't turn out that way. So he didn't know what else to do. He wouldn't accept a new messenger coming saying, here's the truth of what happened. He wouldn't accept that. Telling you what. So, that was the first conflict in the Seventh-day Adventist church. It started out as First Day Adventist William Miller. And so, she managed to come through that conflict. And L.G. White took over. And then the conflict begins all over again. So the Adventist church has a conflict. Sure, up until the time that, L.G. White dies. But they're up until 1930 when Yahweh raised up a new messenger to the Adventist church, Beachy Hollis. And so they had a conflict in 1888, 1890, the church did. She had a conflict in 1930 for the rod to separate from her, and then it began. They had a conflict between the two. And that went on, and it's been ongoing ever since. And then we had a conflict when B.B. Hallett died for the church. His wife took over, and she lasted 5 years. Ben Roden took over from her. He lasted 10 years. And him and Brother Johnson had a big conflict when they were together. Brother Johnson took over Ben Roden. And then we had the biggest conflict of all from the church. Yahshua gave me the reins in 2002 from Brother Johnson. It brought that whole denomination down. And it started us as a grain of mustard seed. There's just three of us as we came out of Gilead Center. And so here we are today. We got the same conflict. We got the conflict until we get the wheat harvested and get that purified church to 144,000. And Yahshua comes and personally destroys all the wicked of terrors out of the Adventist church and sets the Adventist church free with that purified 144,000. Then the conflict starts all over anew. Then the conflict, the 144,000, Yahshua makes it the head of his army, and then they get up great multitude of ornaments. Revelation 9:16 where it says 200 million joins it, isn't it? And then it says 200 million comes from heaven to join those 200 million here on earth, making it 400 million. 200 million heavenly agents and 200 million earthly agents joined together. And then they join this battle. And they go forth into all the world, conquering the conquered. And Yahshua and the house of David is the head of that, giving direction and command and leading every step of the way. So that's the final conflict. That's what it says about it. She's the inner point of the final conflict. Clear as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as the army has done it. So her final conflict is just right in front of us. That's where we're at. And the name is the mountain top that fell down the house of David. It says, fair as the moon, fair as the sun, terrible as an army's banner. She is to go forth to all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets and Kings, page 725. Indeed, people will inquire and invite one another, saying, come and let us go out to the mountain of the Yeshua and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob. I mean, that's the house of David. That's the house that we are in charge of. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of margin the wealth of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought, and I will make the face of thy feet glorious. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahweh, for the Zion of the Holy One of the Israel. That's Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the house of David, tribe of Judah. That's who the Zion of the Holy One of Israel is. That's who we are. Isaiah 60, verse 11, 13, and 14. Indeed, this is the harvest time spoken of by the prophet, and the great end gathering from all the nations of the house of Israel. That's the house of Yahweh of the Jacob, meaning the purified church in the which 144,000 are sealed is the Israel, the true Israel of today. Micah 4:2. Last part. For the law shall go forth of the Zion. And the, what law? It's the law of the sanctuary. Leviticus 23:1-44. All the feast days. Everything taught. As holy Sabbath, that Yahweh's government has been restored, and the creation time has been restored. It's already been restored since 1970. For the law of the sanctuary shall go forth of the Zion. From now on, when you read that law by itself like that, every chance you get, put in parentheses, law of the sanctuary of Leviticus 23:1-44. And, the word of Yahshua from Yahushua. When the law of the sanctuary of the Leviticus 23:1-44 of the Yahshua is proclaimed by his church, you can clearly see what is meant by a righteous church. Righteous people who will obey the voice of the Yahshua. For the Zephaniah looking down to the ages by the prophetic eye foresaw this glorious church. As the remnant of the Israel shall not, for the remnant of the Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall the deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall speed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. None need misunderstand this scripture. It will be fulfilled just as it is written. Though some may think this prophecy is empty talk because the people are saying, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahweh, for we read in the councils and teach the teachers, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in the inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother's sin. Know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, because I'm here in person again, and they can see me with their own eyes, if they become righteous. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. This covers this sermon with Psalm 32. Let's Psalm 32:1-5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Yahshua imputeth not iniquity. Let's put the Father there in that place. Blessed is the man unto whom the Father Yahweh imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For by the day and by the night thy hand was heavy upon me. For my moisture is turned into the drought of the summer, Selah. For I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Yahweh, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is righteous pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Let's talk about Yahshua, actually. Surely, in the floods of the great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with the sounds of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's what I feel like that he always has done with his chosen people and their remnant. It says, verse 9, be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bow, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be unto the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Yahshua's mercy, shall compass him about. Be glad in the Yahshua and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for the joy, all ye that are upright in the heart. So if you can't shout with the up joy for all these wonderful truths about who you are and what Yahweh has made you to be, and the promises and the privileges that he has given you and has glorified you in the light of causing you to understand the true interpretation of his words, his prophetic words, all these mysteries and things hidden in the foundation. If you can't glory in that and share that with your fellow man instead of going and sharing all this negative stuff about what somebody don't like, and he says to somebody and puts that in their mind, all of a sudden they get on their bandwagon, they're not glorifying Yahweh. They're not exalting his word. They're not the privileged people that he has given his word to, that he has trusted with. It's one that he has to come and confess their sin, and he has pardoned their iniquity and got rid of it. And David says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Make sure that you acknowledge all your sin and all your transgression, and acknowledge it and pray for forgiveness of it. Get it forgiven and completely put off the record. Make sure you've done that first before you go around and start talking against somebody that has the truth and you call it the truth of life. This brings the first verse of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message more. Let us close now.